And thank you all for standing by. At this time, I would like to remind parties that your lines are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session, at which time you may press star one to ask a question. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn the meeting over to Glenn Nowak. Thank you, sir. You may begin.
Thank you, and thank you for joining us today for this update on H1N1 influenza, including H1N1 vaccine. Today's briefing will be conducted by Dr. Anne Schuchat, who is the director of the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and I will turn the podium over to Dr. Schuchat.
Thanks, Glenn, and good afternoon, everyone. I want to briefly today give an update on where we are with vaccine supply and where we are with vaccine use, and give some helpful hints looking forward towards the holidays. The H1N1 vaccine supply is getting better and better. Surveys are showing that initial doses of vaccine were relatively quickly taken up, and they were going to the people that they were targeted for. We know from our surveys, though, that many people are interested in being vaccinated and haven't yet had a chance to be. And with the increase in supply and this window of opportunity that we have right now, it's a really good time to be vaccinated in the weeks ahead. Vaccine is becoming available in more and more places and at more and more times, and the states are working very hard to put vaccine in the path of people to make it easy for you to be vaccinated, even over the holidays and going into the new year. A brief update on the flu activity. Disease is at a better state around the country than it had been. Less virus is circulating, but still everything that we're seeing in terms of the flu strains is the H1N1 virus. And so it's not gone at all. None of us know what the weeks and months ahead will bring in terms of influenza activity, and it's very important not to be complacent right now about the ongoing risk of H1N1 influenza. As of today, about 111 million doses of H1N1 vaccine have become available for order by the state. That's a lot of vaccine, and that's really good news. I want to provide some information about a survey of vaccination uptake that the CDC has been carrying out and make some comments on a survey that Harvard carried out, a poll that they did more recently. These two surveys suggest that the initial doses are being relatively quickly used and they're going to the people that they've been targeted for. CDC carried out the National H1N1 survey, and I'm going to report some results from the week of December 6th. To 12. So that's 2 weeks old, but I want to give you a snapshot of what things look like at that point. This is a survey that involved 1,368 adults and 3,243 children in terms of the telephone survey that was carried out. Overall, that estimate for the week of December 6th to 12th was that about 46 million people had been vaccinated with the H1N1 vaccine by that time. About 40% of the doses went to children. Coverage was about twice as high in children as it was in adults, so much more vaccination of children than in adults by that point in December. That's really good news because usually with seasonal flu, there's a lot more vaccination of adults, including seniors, than of children. But we know that with the H1N1 vaccine, we were targeting children because they've been so hard hit by the virus. More recently, Harvard carried out a poll of about 1,600 adults and included about 400 parents in that group. They carried out their poll December 16th and 17th, and their data suggests that 10 days later, after our survey, about 56 million people in the country had been vaccinated with the H1N1 vaccine. Like our earlier results, they also found that children were more likely to be vaccinated than were adults. Taking those two data points together, we think right now probably at least 60 million people have been vaccinated with the H1N1 vaccine. We know from our survey, though, that about half of Americans want to be vaccinated with H1N1 vaccine, and at the time of our poll or our survey, only about 1 in 3 had been able to be vaccinated. What we think that means is that many Americans who still want to be vaccinated have a great chance to in the days ahead. More and more vaccine has become available, and people will be seeing it really everywhere they go, I hope. We know that vaccine is out in doctors' offices, in hospitals, in health departments, but it's also getting into some of the retail settings. We know of some malls that have it, retail pharmacies and other chain stores. So I think that the goal will be to really get vaccine out in the path of people and make it easier day in and day out to find vaccine and take advantage of that. I want to make a couple other points because there have been some things in the news that might have been confusing to people. First, I want to talk to parents. If you have children who are under 10 years of age and have gotten the H1N1 vaccine, it's important to know that your child needs a second dose. We recommend two doses of H1N1 vaccine about 1 month apart. And so we know a lot of parents have gotten their children vaccinated but may not have gotten that second dose in yet. It's really important to finish the series. I also know a lot of people want to be vaccinated, but they've been waiting. They've been wondering, what is the experience with this vaccine? Do we really know enough about it? I want to give you a little more information about the vaccine safety. At this point, we think probably 60 million people have received the H1N1 vaccine. We've intensified our safety monitoring, and we are not seeing any worrisome signs. The information we have on the H1N1 vaccine to date is very reassuring from the safety front. So in closing, I think this is the time to act. In the days and weeks ahead, this is a very good time to be vaccinated. Just because a lot of people are taking off for the holidays does not mean that this flu virus will. This is a time to look for vaccine and make sure that you and everyone you love is protected. So I'd like to answer questions that you may have. Let's go to the phone.
Our first question, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1. The first is from Helen Branswell, the Canadian Press. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks very much for taking my question. This isn't about vaccine. It's about something that you said earlier, Dr. Shuket, about most of, or virtually all of the virus that's being seen as H1N1. I'm wondering what CDC is hearing from other parts of the world about circulating virus and whether the picture is becoming clearer or not, whether this virus is going to replace both the seasonal viruses that we've had up until now. Is that picture coming clear at all?
You know, Helen, I wish I could answer that. I think it's too soon to say. We do, of course, share information regularly with the other WHO collaborating centers and with our partners in other countries. We have people stationed in a lot of countries and are getting thousands of isolates for testing. We don't know yet what kind of seasonal flu strains will emerge and how frequent they'll be, but we're looking very closely. Working with the states to try to test more and more strains, and we want to hear about clusters of unusual disease so we can look into them. No one knows how bad a time we'll have with seasonal strains this year, but we're looking for them. And we also, of course, don't know just what we'll see with H1N1 virus. After the holidays, will more and more cases occur, or will, by more and more people being vaccinated, we be able to blunt that and really protect a lot of folks? Next question from the phone.
Stephen Smith, the Boston Globe, your line is open.
Hi, Dr. Shuket. Good afternoon, and thanks for taking the question. I'm wondering, as more and more evidence comes in regarding patients who have been hospitalized with H1N1, what is being detected as the most significant underlying conditions that those patients have? In other words, what seem to be the underlying conditions that most suggest a patient being at risk for hospitalization if the patient contracts H1N1?
Yeah, thank you for the question. We've been looking at information on hospitalizations from our Emerging Infections Program Network, and what we find is that asthma and chronic lung disease are very common. In particular, in children, those are asthma is a common condition that can complicate influenza. We know that this virus is attacking the lungs and, unfortunately, in some people, causing very severe respiratory failure. And I think people who have chronic lung disease and don't have that margin of reserve have a harder time. But we also see diabetes and chronic heart disease. Of course, pregnancy continues to be an important factor in hospitalizations. We do think people are getting better and better at recognizing the importance of treating pregnant women with antivirals when they have respiratory symptoms, but of course that is still showing up in our hospital data series. Next question from the phone.
Lisa Schneering, SIDRAV News, your line is open.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my questions. A couple real quick ones. Does the CDC or anyone else have any way of gauging how many kids under 10 have already gotten their second dose? And my other question, I just blanked on it. I'm sorry
okay.
about that.
Well, let me try the first while you think of the second. Of the we estimated in our survey carried out a couple weeks ago that about 46 million people had been vaccinated as of the week of December 6th. As of that week, about 2 million people had gotten a second dose. So we do think there are a lot of children in need of second doses in the weeks ahead. And, of course, some parents haven't yet had the chance to get their children vaccinated at all. And for those who have children under 10 who've only gotten one dose so far, remember that after a month you want to get the second dose in. And it's okay if it's 5 or 6 weeks have passed. It doesn't have to be exactly at 4 weeks. But you do need to get that second dose in, and we strongly recommend it. Did you think of your second question?
Are there going to be any more formal organized campaigns for a second push, kind of like you do kind of as a kick-in thing for the seasonal vaccine, kind of that late fall thing that you've been doing the past years? Is there any new campaigns starting out to kind of get that last push in for the H1N1 vaccine?
Yes, absolutely. Right now, there are a number of communication efforts being carried out. Some public service announcements are going out around the country, and we know that many leaders are trying to help get the word out in their communities as well as nationally. We also do intend to have National Influenza Vaccination Week. You may be familiar with us holding that in early December. This year, we decided to hold it in January instead to really help with that additional push related to the H1N1 vaccination effort. We think a lot of schools may be carrying out their second dose school campaigns in January, and we really want to work together with our public health partners and the medical community in promoting influenza vaccination over the weeks ahead. So, yes, I do think an important opportunity right now over the holidays for people to be vaccinated and continued opportunities in January and beyond. Next question from the phone.
David Brown from Washington Post, your line is open.
Hi, thanks a lot, Dr. Shuket. Two questions. The Harvard poll found that less than one quarter, and specifically 22% of adults prioritized to receive H1N1 flu vaccine have received it so far. That seems pretty low, and I'm wondering if your poll found similar numbers. And my second question is are cases going down in all parts of the country, or does it seem that the epidemic is still on an upward curve in some regions?
Our survey data bears out the Harvard poll that children are more likely to be vaccinated, including children compared to prioritized adults. So we do think that there are lots of opportunities now for adults to be vaccinated. And we know that early use of the vaccine in many states was really focusing on children, especially states that were focusing on the sub-priority populations, really which didn't focus above the age of 18, except for healthcare workers and parents or caretakers of newborns. So I think that the time is now for adults with chronic health conditions to look for vaccine and for those they love, really people with lung disease like emphysema, diabetes, cancer, heart disease, and really for everyone else, because one thing you can do by being vaccinated is protect those around you, including those with those chronic conditions. Survey after survey suggests that people who have chronic conditions like diabetes or heart disease do not think of themselves as a person of high risk. And so what we need is everybody to talk to each other and remind your loved ones, really take care of your health and look for that vaccine. The question about geographic spread is important. Influenza is very local. Right now, 5 of 10 regions around the country still have influenza activity that is above baseline. We have 11 states that still have widespread disease, and many states still have regional disease. So that influenza is still out there, and as I said, it is still the H1N1 virus. In areas where the disease has calmed substantially, we don't know what the future will hold, whether it will rise with a big peak, whether it will be a subtle increase in cases, or whether we will see outbreaks in certain communities and not others, even within the same state. But we're really intensifying our surveillance and reminding everyone there are a lot of unknowns, But the one thing we do know is that getting vaccinated will reduce the chance of you getting sick and reduce the chance of the country going through a third wave. Next question from the phone.
Mary Shedden from the Tampa Tribune. Your line is open.
I wanted to just touch base and find out, you mentioned the survey results of how many adults said they wanted to get the vaccine, and I also wonder if the Christmas holidays will be a factor, as well as the fact that a lot of places with the vaccine now are retail clinics that are charging up to $20 for a vaccine. Do you think that'll be a problem?
Overall, about 50% of respondents said that they were interested in being vaccinated. It varies a little bit by age, and it's varied a little bit over time. I think we might have had as many as 60% who wanted to be vaccinated many weeks ago, and now it's around 50%. The vaccine is becoming available at more and more places, including the retail pharmacies that often do bill insurance or may charge for the administration of the vaccine. Remember, this vaccine is purchased by the government, so no one is allowed to charge for the vaccine itself, but private healthcare providers and the retail pharmacies can charge an administration fee. We've encouraged people to make sure that that's reasonable, and they're not allowed to exceed the regional Medicare reimbursement fee. We do know that the public health sector is continuing to make sure that vaccine is available without any administration fee, either at local health departments or through mass clinics. I know there were free vaccines at the zoo held in Virginia recently, and there are all kinds of innovative efforts to get vaccine out to people and to really reduce costs being a barrier. It's critical that people be able to protect themselves and their family without the financial hardships that we know so many people are going through. I think those were your questions. Did I get them all? Okay, I guess we're on to the next question from the phone.
The next is from Marilyn Marchion, the Associated Press. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thanks very much for taking my call. We had a report this morning from the American Veterinary Medical Association that a dog in suburban New York was carrying the same strain of flu that is affecting humans. We've had some rare reports in the past about some animals carrying the vaccine. I wonder, Dr. Shukut, if you could talk about this and, you know, what you'd say to the public who start thinking about pets and interspecies transmission.
Yes, there have been reports of the H1N1 virus in a variety of species, including some household pets. One important thing to say, stepping back, is that the human-animal interface is a very important place for influenza viruses. It's a place where they sometimes emerge, usually very far from here. But animals can carry influenza viruses, and so can people. And when they mix, that can sometimes make trouble. In terms of people with pets, with cats and dogs, really this is not a reason to be concerned. We think that the rare occurrences of this virus in other species is not a general problem. And so enjoying your pets and enjoying your family through the holidays is the best advice. Next question from the phone.
The next is from Amy Burkholder, CBS News. Your line is open.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Shukut. Thank you so much. Quick question. It seems that CDC is pleased with the uptake in kids, but do you have any information about the uptake in pregnant women?
We don't have final data yet for the last bit of time on pregnant women. There's a different survey we're doing to get at that. Our preliminary look at pregnant women was very encouraging. But we'll have better data in January to report more formally on. I would say, to qualify, if I said I was encouraged about the uptake in children, I think the critical message is a lot more people need to be vaccinated to protect themselves. We have had a good uptake at the beginning of the program with vaccine going to the priority populations, but now that we have more and more supply, there's a chance for more people to protect themselves and their families. So I hope more parents who've been waiting, watching, wondering what the safety data would show, will now be reassured and will be able to take advantage of the vaccine for their children and themselves. Next question from the phone.
The next is from Denise Grady, New York Times. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. What is the status of the vaccine for the regular seasonal flu? Is there any of that left? Is it gone? Is it available to anybody? Thanks.
Yes. And I can tell you my husband got his H1N1 and his seasonal flu vaccine a couple of days ago at a pharmacy in the Georgia area. So there is seasonal flu around. Of course, most of the seasonal flu vaccine has already been distributed. I believe it's all been distributed. It's about 112 or 13 million doses that the companies were able to produce. There may be a little bit more coming that some of the companies are working on. There's been an effort to really focus with the distributors that still have vaccine to assure that, that vaccine from distributors can get to the nursing homes that weren't yet able to fill their orders. But we do think that there's a little bit of seasonal flu vaccine around. It'll be spotty place to place. But again, checking with your doctor's office or your pharmacy and retail setting to see what's left. The vast majority, we think, has already been used. But as I said, we found it locally very recently. Next question from the phone.
Kelly Brewington, the Baltimore Sun. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. We're hearing reports that another vaccine recall is on the way. We actually were under the impression that this would be discussed during the press call today. Can you confirm this, and what can you tell us about it?
I think that FDA would need to talk about that. What I can say is that as part of the H1N1 vaccine program, there's a lot of quality assurance testing, and certainly we're cutting no corners at all in terms of how the vaccines are being produced, released, and followed after their release. Many people heard about a recall last week. Of course, that was not related to safety or any kind of clinical problem, and so I believe that FDA would need to answer questions about any pending decisions they're making. Next question from the phone.
The next is from Felice Fryer, Providence Journal. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks very much. I'm wondering if you have now or expect to have information on a state-by-state basis that would show what percentage of the target groups are being vaccinated in each state. For example, did North Dakota get 50% of pregnant women, that sort of thing, to help you decide what the best practices were?
That's a really important question. We are carrying out surveys that will involve every state through the behavioral risk factor surveillance system that many of the states use to track things like smoking prevalence and so forth. And so over the weeks ahead, we'll be gathering more and more data about what has been achieved so far in the immunization effort, whether some states were able to reach a lot more children or a lot more pregnant women or a lot more people with diabetes than other states were. We're very interested in identifying best practices, what works in different contexts, and sharing those. We think the H1N1 pandemic has really improved our ability to deliver vaccine to children through the schools, because probably two-thirds of the states have carried out school-associated vaccination efforts, but we don't know yet whether coverage was higher in the states that did those school-based programs versus other states. There's going to be an enormous amount of learning to come that really can help us with seasonal flu prevention in the years ahead. So we'll look forward to sharing those data when they're available. Two more questions we have time for. So the second to last question from the phone.
The next is from Tom Corwin, Augusta Chronicle. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. We're being told that CDC is redirecting vaccine from the states to the retail side, about 10 million doses. I'm wondering why that's happening and if that number is correct, that it's 10 million.
There's no redirection of vaccine from the states going on. CDC is working very closely with the states and local health departments throughout this H1N1 vaccination program. We're working hard to make sure that we can get vaccine in the path of people who need and want it. And so there's no redirection happening. That's a misunderstanding. Then let's go to the next question, which is the last question from the phone.
The next is from Karen Zeitvogel. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was wondering about the study that was published online by JAMA, where they say they found that a single dose, 15 micrograms, is enough to immunize children from 6 months to, I think, 18. And why are their findings so different to what was found earlier? Is it a different vaccine, or do you have any insight into that?
The study that was reported from JAMA was one single study with one particular vaccine in one population at one point in time. There are other studies that have been done of the H1N1 vaccine under the coordination of the NIH, and it's through those NIH-organized studies that we strongly believe two doses of vaccine are needed in children under 10. So I think there'll be lots of scientific discussions about what happened with that study, what the particulars were there that might have been unusual. But based on everything that I know right now, I think it's very important for parents to make sure that their children who are under 10 get their second dose of the H1N1 vaccine. So thanks, everybody. Happy holidays, and see you next year, I think, right?